to another episode of Quantum of Solace with David Robertson, and I'm Al Smith of the Solace Centre for Public Christianity. Today on the programme, time for inclusive education. Winning the lottery changes your life, but not in a good way. Alec Matier passing. But first, before we get into any of those topics, David, there's some big news on the Solace front. You got something to tell us?
Well, I do actually, because today, when we're recording this, is the 1st of September. And actually, I have resigned as director of Solace. This is my first day no longer as director.
I can hear secular groups across the land rejoicing at the news.
Well, so they should be, because it's freed me up to have another go at them. No, the great news is we've been working on this for a while and we're just making it public today, although this is his first day of working. Dr. Andy Bannister, formerly of RZIM in Canada, has returned to the United Kingdom and he's coming up to paradise. He is the new director for Solace. He will be working full time. If you don't know about Andy, go on to our website. You'll learn plenty about him. Highly recommend his book, The Atheist Who Didn't Exist. He's got some great videos. So Al, you're going to have some great fun. And he's got a drone. So
That makes me happy.
What more can you ask for? And we are so grateful to RZIM and to the Oxford Centre for Apologetics as well because of their support in all of this. It is really, really exciting.
One of the first things he's going to be doing is on the 24th of September, right, Saturday, yeah. He's going to be running the next Solace Connect Training Day. It's our Saturday course in apologetics and evangelism. And in this one, we're going to be looking at how the local church can better communicate with the local press in your area. So if you want information on that, just visit the Solace website at solace-cpc.org.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God and my shield, in whom I trust.
A sad death, insofar as a Christian death is a sad death, it is, this week.
We grieve, but not as though with someone without hope. Alec Matier, he is a theologian, he's an author, he's really a giant in Reformed Anglican theology. I'm fairly new to his writing, I don't know a lot about him. My kind of first experience of him is a daily devotional that he wrote on the Psalms at the moment, working my way through that. So tell me more about him. Why is he so good?
Well, it's his writings, especially on the Old Testament. The New Bible Commentary, his section on the Psalms in that is stunning. His book on Amos, there's just anything that Alec Matier has written. Uh-huh. It's just worth reading. The interesting thing as well is that Matier, F.F. Bruce, all these guys, the Lord brought them through in England, especially a kind of academic scholarship for evangelicalism, which is absolutely top-notch. And his ministry will continue, undoubtedly, through his books. I never met him, but from all accounts, he was a Christian gentleman. And to any of our listeners, if you're looking for good Bible commentaries, theological works, you can't go wrong with Matier. Something that for me, is probably the chilling comment of the year so far from a guy called Alan Smith.
Alan Smith is an SNP member of the European Parliament. He is someone who experiences same-sex attraction himself, and he's been writing a quite chilling article. He says this: there are, sadly, still people subjected to the ideology that says certain sexual orientations or gender identities are inherent moral defects. This just needs to stop. And while freedom of religion is important, if any organisation is providing a publicly funded service, then that freedom is surpassed by a duty to equality and the law. Mm-hmm. We have a curriculum for excellence. We're more than capable of setting what our schools need to do. We need to set the bar a bit higher on LGBTI issues in all schools. no exceptions.
Yeah, and this is something that our good friend Al Mohler constantly discusses on his podcast, and it's something that's here now in this country. And what is chilling about it is this. Alan Smith is saying if his government decides something is moral, whatever, then everyone has to accept it and everyone has to teach it. It's very, very, very authoritarian. Now, let me give you some examples of this. Now, these are things that have come to me. Sadly, we live in such a totalitarian state that I can't mention names. But I will mention the teacher who wrote to us and said that her school is trying to get an LGBTI award, and all teachers in a primary school in Scotland mm-hmm. have to be indoctrinated in this, and they have to hand out LGBT library books to primary school children. Yeah. It is social engineering.
Yeah.
Or let me give you another example. A nurse who contacts us and who believes that gender reassignment surgery is actually harmful in many cases mm-hmm. and doesn't want to participate and has been told if she says a word, she loses her job. Mm. Now, these are real issues for people.
From a practical point of view, like Christians out on the ground, they're going to be faced with a number of different techniques that are used to drive this ideology mm-hmm. through the state system. The first tactic that's used is basically, if you don't agree with what we're saying, you are homophobic. It's like a jamming technique. Yeah. You know, even if it's not true, if it's not fair, if it's not logical, it doesn't matter. You're just automatically associated as being homophobic if you oppose this. The second thing is to make the simplistic charge that if you're against this LGBTI education, then you're responsible for the suicidal thoughts that kids who experience same-sex attraction have. You're a bully.
The curriculum for excellence as we have in Scotland, that is supposed to get it right for every child. And we are not getting it right for every child. The children of tomorrow must grow up without the prejudices of today, and it is very clear to us and our experiences in talking to teachers and young people with laceration marks on their arms, young people who have attempted to take their lives, clearly we are not getting it right for every child, and when is that going to change?
I can think of situations where there are Christians who are involved, who are head teachers or whatever, who are actually promoting this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it kind of makes them look good or feel good or whatever. And we need to be very, very careful. And somebody at some point is going to have to stand up and just simply say, enough, no more. The transgender day coming to a school near you where your child is told to dress in a different form of, you know, at some point parents are just going to say, no, that is enough. I'll tell you what's wrong with Alan Smith's things. I mean, there's wrong with it, in so much wrong with it in so many ways. I mean, it's authoritarian, it's bullying. But it's also illogical, because he's saying whatever sexual orientation you have. Actually, he doesn't believe that.
Of course he doesn't.
He's got to believe that some sexual orientations are wrong.
Well, on what basis?
For example, he's not going to say that paedophilia is right. He's going to say that it's wrong.
Whenever you go there, though, the argument that always comes back is, how dare you link homosexuality with paedophilia? Basically, it's like a diversion tactic, isn't it?
I'm not doing that. You're making that link. I'm not making that link. I'm saying if you're making the blanket statement any sexuality is acceptable, then you're saying that forms of sexuality which you do not consider to be acceptable are acceptable.
Bestiality.
You know, you can go on.
Zoophilia, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. You can list the different things. Now, here we are. We're talking about children at a stage where they are constantly changing. Mm-hmm. It's something like 75% of those who say they are transgender when they're in their childhood years have changed their minds by the time they become adults. I know the way that this gets presented. Alan Smith presents it as this is about stopping bullying. This is about freedom. This is about informing people and so on.
This is cheap progressivism. And by shouting loudly about this TIE program, Time for Inclusive Education, it allows politicians to say they're tackling a problem. But homophobic bullying isn't the biggest problem. The bigger problem is just bullying in general, you know. When it comes to the sort of suicidal thoughts, the bigger problem is that depression and suicidal rates are significantly on the increase amongst all teenagers, not just teenagers who experience same-sex attraction. But by doing this, it's basically a diversion tactic. They can concentrate on this tiny little one aspect of it and ignore the wider problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, a far bigger problem than homophobic bullying in schools, hardcore pornography being available on the playground and on the internet.
Through Snapchat.
Start dealing with that.
Even if they implement it, it's still not going to work. If you don't correctly diagnose the real problem in the first place, then whatever solution you come up with is guaranteed to fail. To understand the problem with TIE, you've got to understand the worldviews of the people that are proposing it.
Yeah.
It's coming from an assumption that the cause of it is a lack of information and understanding, and that because people are basically good, then all you have to do is just provide them with more information and it solves the problems. But I mean, the Christian worldview's got a very different basic assumption about human nature. We're not good. Providing kids with this kind of extra information, they're just going to turn around and find new ways to use it for evil.
Absolutely. And I think this is what I would want to say to Mr. Smith and others. No, no, we know the tactics. We know the emotional stuff that you pour out. We know everything else that you keep trying doing the bullying. And some of us, we've had enough. No, stop it. You're not going to bully us into accepting your particular view of sexuality and humanity and what is right and wrong. And listen, here's a big, big clue. Scottish education at the primary and secondary school level is rapidly getting into crisis. How about we get back to educating children, teaching children, and forget all the social engineering? Spend your money on that. The millionaire lottery couple who divorced after the wife left her husband for a married former Dreams is the company mattress boss worth 100 times more. David and Victoria Jones, who won £2.3 million in the lottery in 2004, they claim that the lottery ruined their lives and they wish they'd never won. And Mrs. Jones has now left her husband for a wealthy businessman called Mike Clare, who apparently sold his business for 200 plus.
So money doesn't solve the problems, it just creates new ones, doesn't
it? No, she said, the stress it gives you in life and even 12 years down the line, I'm still classed as a lottery winner, it's horrible. It ruins your life, people treat you differently, it's just not a nice thing.
It says a lot for the Lord's wisdom in the Ten Commandments. He says, thou shalt not covet. You know, so don't be envious of what your neighbour has, your neighbour's wife, your neighbour's husband, the neighbour's property. Be happy, be content with what God provides you.
Yeah, and then the man she's left for, what I found quite sad is, in his interview on this, he says, I haven't just seen Victoria, everyone knows I see different girls, and so on. And I again, here we're just talking about the cheapening of human relationships. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now I love you like the way I'm meant to do, but you've been caught cheating on me. A couple other things to go with the Guardian. I'm sorry, I checked my calendar, was it April the 1st? But no, The Guardian, in their science and religion section, ran a piece. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. But this is serious. They were doing this seriously. Uh-huh. Ran a piece in which a scholar, this is in the science section, remember, so it must be true, has said that Jesus did his miracles through cannabis. Now, I suspect I think the scholar may have been smoking somewhat too much.
It's a 3 o'clock in the morning article, that one, isn't it?
It was just, I mean, it's just unbelievable. But here's the interesting thing. It's always a scholar says,
a scientist say anything.
And you just, oh my goodness. Jesus did his miracles through cannabis. So you're feeding the 5,000. What, you just give them some dope?
It's not sharing the loaves and fishes. It's five tokes and four hash brownies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is pretty, pretty awful.
So what's he saying? Is that Jesus smoked cannabis, the disciples smoked cannabis, and they imagined a lot? Or is he saying that the 20,000 people had
the medicinal
cannabis
properties were used, you know? So that
or healing. All right. Yeah. Okay. You're running to the city. The center of it all. New vision and new language. To camouflage the fall.
one more thing on a more serious level, at an economic level. Some people don't understand the NHS. They call it socialized medicine. So I love our National Health Service, and it does bother me. A headline I read in the Metro that the privatization of the NHS continues as a hospital contract was awarded to Richard Branson. This is the Richard Branson, owner of Virgin Trains, Virgin Media. Richard Branson, who wanted Britain to stay in Europe and has funded a newspaper because he's so annoyed at Brexit, but who lives in Trinidad or whatever. He doesn't live here.
He doesn't pay tax anymore in the UK.
That's right. And it's the Richard Branson who has just been awarded a £126 million contract to take over services at hospitals in Kent.
But it's not just Branson, does it? I mean, the NHS, and particularly in England and Wales, has been privatised kind of piecemeal. There's lots of different private contractors will now run it. It's largely as a result of compulsory competitive tendering.
Well, some of our American friends listening to this will go, what, you're kidding? You think it's a bad idea to have private firms running hospital things?
But it's like privatising the train network.
Yeah.
What you actually end up doing is ripping off British taxpayers because the profits go to fund nationalised train operators in other countries, in Germany and France. And
yeah, we need to think this, because we need to think about how all this is being done, because we keep coming back to this theme that in a capitalism without Christianity, and notice the phrase capitalism without Christianity, you're going to end up with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And I think that's what's happening. But anyway, we will not even begin to go there, because I'm sure we'll get lots of responses to that. It's been good to talk to you again. It's good that I am no longer the director of the Solace Centre for Public Christianity, and we shall see you next week.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand, because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness, and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky, or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.